The following is a conversation between His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and Professor Oliver, recorded on October 10th, 1975, at the Durban University, South Africa.
I do not know who are those gentlemen. They are your teaching staff, that Mr. Chadda and others. They were introduced as Arya Samajis. They belong to the teaching staff, no?
No, the Arya Pataniri Sava, which is an organization which was started about 100 years ago by Swami Dayanand in India. With the motto, Bhanto Vishwam Haryam, let us make all men noble through search after truth. And that started in South Africa about 50 years ago.
Oh.
And one of the leading gentlemen in the organization today was the one sitting on the extreme left-hand side, Mr. Chotei.
Oh.
They are celebrating their 50th anniversary here in South Africa with a week's program, and they invited these two acharyas over from India.
Oh.
One is from Delhi. I don't know where the other one is from. They invited them over to grace their celebrations. So they've been having a week of celebrations starting in the city hall last Sunday.
This Sunday?
The Sunday that's just passed, yes, they started there.
Oh.
I have a program in the car, perhaps I can give you the program and you can have a look. All kinds of interesting topics.
What interesting topic? The gentleman, he was introduced, he himself, I am God. So what topics he can have with them?
Yeah.
He said that I am God.
Yeah.
I do not know what kind of topics they are.
Well, the one was the regeneration of the Hindu spirit. I don't know what was meant by that.
They do not belong to the Hindu. They are described in the Bhagavad Gita. You find out. Vedubhadu rata parthya nanna kastiti bhadim.
I have read through the Gita, of course, but you see, and I have thereafter referred to certain paragraphs, but it is a book of profound depth. And unless you spend a lot of time going into details, much of it gets...
You got this?
Gets lost.
Vedabhadu rata.
Yang imam pushpitang vacham pradavanti avipashtita vedavara rata parta nanyat astita vadina kamatmana svarga para janma karma pala pradam via vishesha bahulam vagaishvaya gatim prati. Men of small knowledge are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to heavenly planets, resultant good birth, power, and so forth. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say that there is nothing more than this.
Well, so we are left in this 20th century, this last part of the century, with a new global search for the truth of the spirit. We, of course, in the Western world, are not familiar with the, you know, with the
no
Gita and so on. But our problem is basically, I think, the one that you raised was how do we make a reality, a scientific reality. I think you were quite right. I think people, very few people, get the point that you were trying to make there.
That is the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, scientific reality. Therefore, I raised that question. But nobody could reply properly. They thought it a kind of Hindu conception. No, that is not Hindu conception. That is the basic principle of reincarnation. We are changing body, and there are so many varieties of body. We may enter in any one of them after death. That is the real problem. Prakita kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvas. Nature's work is going on. This body is a machine. This machine, just like a car, has been offered to us by material nature, by the order of God, Krishna, and you are moving. Transmigration. So, the real purpose of life is to stop this migration, transmigration, perpetually from one body to another, one body to another, and revive our original spiritual position. So that we can lead eternally blissful life of knowledge. That is the aim of life. The whole Vedic conception is based on this principle.
Now, how do you... your concept of reincarnation.
Yes.
How do you reconcile
reincarnation
with this attempt?
Well, so long you'll have desire for material.
This is what is normally in the Hindu religion, you know, which it's not so, of course, in the Christian religion.
It is not the custom, really. This is the I would say our position, real position. Religion develops. Religion is a kind of faith. That develops according to time, circumstances, people. But reality is this, that we are spirit soul. We are now conditioned by the laws of material nature, and we are carried away by the laws of material nature and transmigrating from one body to another, sometimes happy, sometimes distressed, or sometimes heavenly planet, sometimes lower planet. This is going on. And human life is meant for stopping this process of transmigration and revive our original consciousness and go back to home, back to God, and lead eternally blissful life of knowledge. This is the whole scheme of Vedic literature. And Bhagavad Gita is the synopsis, how to attain this life. Therefore, the teachings of Bhagavad Gita begins to understand the constitutional position of the soul. Then, other things. First of all, we have to understand what we are, whether I am this body or something else. This is the first understanding. So I was trying to explain this, but that Mr. Chadda, he would bring that he want to introduce Hindu conception. It is not Hindu conception, it is the scientific conception. I am a child for some time, then I become a boy. Sometimes then I become a young man, sometimes then I become old man. In this way I am changing body. This is not Hindu conception or Vedic conception, this is a fact. But he would not hear that. He would simply say, you are trying to push Hindu conception out. Hey, what is this Hindu conception? It is equally applicable to everyone. Scientific basis. That is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Dehi nasmin yatha dehi kaumara jo vadanajara tatha dehantara prati dhira sata. Find out this.
Dehi nasmin yatha dehi kaumaram jo vadanajara tatha dehantara prati dhira sata namuyati. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change.
So, in the Bhagavad Gita, everything is explained very scientifically. A sentimental expression, no. Logically, scientifically.
Yeah. The problem, as I see it, of course, is how to get modern man to make this study in depth that is contained or outlined in this book. Especially when you're caught up in an educational system that denies a place into this very concept, or even the philosophy of it.
The modern education, they do not accept soul.
Part of it in theory, perhaps, you know. And at the junior stage, but as we advance, there is either a complete neutrality or just a simple rejection of all these truths.
They do not accept soul.
They accept the soul. I think so, but they do not care to analyze what it means.
It is without analyzing this. What is the education? First of all, this should be analyzed. What is the distinction between a dead body and a living body? It must be analyzed. Otherwise, what is education? We are dealing with this body. The body is always dead. Just like a motor car with driver, without driver. The car is always a lump of matter. Similarly, this body, with the soul and without the soul, is a lump of matter.
Not worth very much.
Huh?
Not worth very much.
No.
Think about one around 56 cents or something.
Yes.
Somebody worked it out the other day.
But if one cannot distinguish between the car and the driver of the car, then he remains just like a child. A child may think that the car is running automatically. But that is foolishness. There is a driver. The child may not know. But when the child is grown up, educated, still he does not know, then what is the meaning of his education?
Now this is the whole range of education in, well, as far as I am aware, in the whole of the Western world. And it covers primary and secondary and tertiary education. There is no place for an in-depth study of the soul and of the...
I talked with one big professor in Moscow. Perhaps you may know him. His name is Professor Kotovsky. He is the leader of Indology in Moscow. So I had a talk with him for about an hour. That talk was published in some paper. He says, Swamiji, after this body is annihilated, everything is finished. So I was surprised. And he is holding a very responsible post, Indology, and known to be very good scholar. He was a good scholar, but he also does not know.
Well, we have started a course, or we have a course here at our own university in Indology. It is, it is a scholar from Vienna. We have got to teach this course for us. But what he teaches, what kind of basic philosophy, I wouldn't know. There are about 30 or 40 students. So in essence, they ought to start by making at least a detailed study, as I see it, of the Bhagavad Gita as a basis for their whole philosophy.
So why not appoint somebody to teach Bhagavad Gita as it is? That is essential. And we have got step by step so many books, 50 books, simply to understand God.
You mean from the beginning right through?
Oh, yes.
I see.
You can make them pass the entrance examination, the graduate examination, the postgraduate examination, by studying these books.
Well, this is apparently what one needs. This is perhaps what one needs, you know. And
our books are being appreciated here off America by big professors, universities. They are giving us standing orders, even in Oxford University. What is that, Oxford University?
Yes, I was just in London a while back.
No, the letter is there.
I don't know if I have anyone from Oxford. This is from Harvard. We just received this telegram from Los Angeles, Prabhupada. Amazing success from your library party. 152 standing orders sold in just 17 days of September in New England. 13 standing orders at Harvard. No limit in sight. These books are very much being appreciated in America.
He's there for the sit.
Yes,
yes.
A standing order of books, even which haven't been published yet. Prabhupada is translating on his dictaphone each night throughout the hours of the night.
Mm.
Now about 50 books so far.
Mm-hmm.
Many more to come.
The total number of books will be about 80.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Out of that, we have published about 50. So, the balance, they are giving standing order, as soon as published.
Yeah. Yeah. You see, this, our university has almost an obligation to make a study in depth all of these points.
And after studying Bhagavad Gita thoroughly, then begins further, higher study, Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah.
The same principle, so.
The same format is used. There's color illustrations, introduction, and Sanskrit transliteration, word for word.
Now, would this be a where would this come in a book like this?
This is the
study course.
Postgraduate study of Bhagavad Gita, yes. The Bhagavad Gita.
Bhagavad Gita is entrance.
Yes.
And then this is graduate.
Yes.
And Chaitanya Chaitamrita postgraduate.
Our big problem is at the undergraduate level.
Yes.
There's
the nectar of devotion and teachings of Lord Chaitanya.
Yeah.
Nectar of Devotion from the Sri Upanishad. These books are actually being used in undergraduate courses.
Yeah.
These are some of the recommendations, see, offered as an undergraduate course. Mostly, this book is very, very interesting. This, The Complete Science of Bhakti Yoga. This explains scientifically the science of devotional service to God. That devotional service which is not practiced with reference to the Vedic literatures is simply a disturbance, just as if some chemist walked into an English laboratory or some foreign language laboratory and tried to do something he has no knowledge.
Right.
So in the same way, we should try to understand the science of devotional service from the authorities, so that it doesn't become simply a disturbance in society. People lose faith in God that way.
Yeah.
And there's a very nice opportunity because you have all Indian students and they're eager.
They're eager
to know.
Yeah.
They want to know.
Yeah.
And they want
and
to
they should be helped.
They should be helped, yes.
Yeah.
They should be
helped. That is part of it,
you know. Apart from anything else, our Hindu community here in South Africa seems to be very loose from any fixed idea of what constitutes Hinduism.
Yeah.
And especially the young people, they are therefore living in a complete vacuum. They, for various reasons, they do not want to accept. Come back to the word religion again, because this is what they have about see around them. They cannot identify themselves with the Christian religion. They cannot identify themselves with the Islamic religion. They are largely ignorant.
But this would be so the right path.
They should be.
This is the right path. Original, authentic.
There were not very many great scholars in South Africa amongst our Indian community. You know, they came out by and large as workers on the sugar plantation. A few were Christian missionaries, a few were jewelers and tailors and so on. And then for the last 100 years they were occupied in resisting
political struggles
or resisting this transportation back to India, and they were fighting to make a living, you know, finding their own place in the country. And it only, as I see that in the future, as I've been telling them, that we are privileged to have them here in this country with this background, and that they mustn't cut themselves away from it and drift in a vacuum. They must give meaning to the essence of their own beliefs and faith. But they do not know to whom to turn.
Oh, this is the opportunity.
You see now, they turn, the senior ones turn perhaps to the acharyas that you saw there. But
the youth are not attracted.
They must.
Because they don't have the answers. The youth wants to know science. In other words, if a youth asks a question, then you can't answer it. He doesn't want to hear from you anymore. But we can answer all questions on the basis of these literatures without any tinge of mental speculation.
Oh.
Science. That's it.
And then basically they and myself and others want to know, how do we get this spirit into our own hearts, and how does this then issue out into everyday living?
Yes. That is all explained in the Bhagavad Gita. How to live peacefully in this world and go back to home, back to God. This is the whole thing explained. Very, very.
It's not that everyone will become a monk.
No.
Neither everyone will become a jeweler or a teacher. Sure. But all different occupations must be there in society. That's simply right. They have to somehow or another become God-centered.
Yeah. Well, this is the point, you see. Man only lives because God allows him to live. God has given him breath to live, and he's got to breathe God and speak God and live God. Now,
that is one thing.
How to get him to voluntarily make this experiment, because this is what you were saying. I mean, any scientific development rests on experimentation. The challenge to experiment,
yes,
is there. I mean, God does not deny anybody the privilege of experimenting.
Yes.
Especially youth at university, as I have always indicated, and I tell them every year, that they've got to experiment with the spirit to the same extent that they experiment in their laboratories with pieces,
yes,
of animal tissues or grass or what it is that they've got to analyze. But the real tragedy is that we have wandered away so far from the spirit, and from the spiritual laboratory, that we don't know where to start. And we can't get half a dozen real, honest believers prepared to sit down and try to find out what the mind, or how much God wants to give of his mind to our minds.
God is giving his mind. We require to take it. That requires little advancement. Otherwise everything is there.
Yeah, but it needs a little of instruction.
Just like,
yes,
this verse, that soul is eternal and the body is changing. In a very simple example, God says, Deyina Svijnathadehi, Kaumata Javanath is, soul is there, permanent, and the body is changing. Just like a boy is becoming a young man is becoming old man. So there is no denying this fact. I can understand, you can understand that I was a boy. So, I was a boy, I know that I had a body of a boy. So the boy's body is no longer existing, but I am existing. So this is the fact that I am eternal, the body is not eternal. Very simple. There is no difficulty to understand it. I remember I was a boy, I was jumping. And now I cannot do that because I have got a different body. So I am conscious that I possessed a body like that. Now I do not possess. The body is changing. But I am the person eternal. Very simple example. One requires little brain only. That I, the owner of the body, is eternal. The body is changing.
But now having accepted that, the further problem then arises, what are the implications?
Yes, that if we understand that I am not body, so at the present moment I am engaged only to keep my body in comfort, but I am not taking any care of myself. It's like I am cleansing the certain coat thrice daily, but I am hungry, no food for me, only washing material for my certain coat. So this basic civilization is wrong. If I take care of your coat and shirt and I don't give you to eat anything, then how long will you be satisfied? That is my mind. This is the basic mistake. Everywhere the material civilization means taking over care of the body and bodily comforts. But the owner of the body, the spirit soul, no care.
No care.
No care. No care. Therefore, everyone is restless. Restless. And they are changing ism from capitalism to communism, these are, but they do not know what is their mistake.
There's very little difference there, both material.
No, there is material. The communists are thinking that if we take the controlling government in our hand, everything will be adjusted. But the mistake is there. Either the communist or the capitalist are taking care of the external body,
right,
not the internal identity, the soul. The soul must be peaceful. Then everything will be peaceful. Shanti, that is the Bhoktaram Jagadavam Sarvalokamayasaram. Suidam Sarvabhutanam Gyatamam Shanti Vichyati. This is the formula of peacefulness. Just try to read it.
Bhoktaram Jagyatapasam Sarvalokamaheshwaram Suhidam Sarvabhutanam Gyatamam Shanti Vichyati. The sage is knowing me as the ultimate purpose of all sacrifices and austerities, the supreme lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attaining peace from the pangs of material miseries.
That means one must know what is God. Because you are part and parcel of God, We have got very intimate relationship with God, our business with God. So, at the present moment, there is no information or attempt, business, what is our relationship with God and what is our, action in dealing with God. God is neglected. They do not know what is God, no complete idea. Every religion, they are of course trying to understand God, but they are no clear. That is also has taken for bodily comforts. Either in Christianity or Hinduism, the so-called priest and the religious leaders, they are also after the bodily comforts. They have no clear knowledge. This is the difficulty. Ask any priest or any leader of the religion, what do you mean by God? Hardly he will be able to explain. I studied all of that. I went to Rome. I talked with one of the secretaries of Pope. No clear idea. One of the cardinals. In France I talked with one important man, cardinal. So many scandals was published.
He died recently. He was found dead in a prostitute's house. He was in the front pages of the French newspapers.
So people are losing faith in this way. Even the leaders of religion, they have no stability.
And I believe that with all the modern scientific developments that we see around us, well, if the satellite in the sky can reveal, you know, what
happens... That is material.
No, but what I mean, if the satellite in the sky can reveal what happens in one pole, can reveal it to the other pole, then surely God can reveal His spirit and His mind to anyone who wants to obey, who wants to know, who sincerely wants to follow.
Yes. So here the Bhagavad Gita means God is explaining Himself. Now we have to take it by our logic and reason. Then it will be pure understanding of God.
Yeah, but how to get this across, you know.
That request, the teaching is there. We have to understand it by discussion, by authoritative discussion.
Well, I think so. I think this is probably where one has to start, that you've got to sit down and discuss this very much as, you know, some professors would discuss in a scientific experiment.
The only difference is that the answers are there before the questions.
Yeah, but you still have to...
No, the process is prescribed there, how to understand. Tadvidhi pratipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadakshanti tadgyanam gyanina tattadarshana. Find out this part.
You see, the water is there. But I still got to drink the water. I want to get the benefit of the water.
Yes. That is it.
You see, the answers are there. That's the difference,
they're looking for the answers.
That I can concede, this we can give, but how do you bring the person to drink? How do you get him to start putting into practice?
This is first Prabhupada's question. Tadviri pani patena, pari prashmina seva, upadekshyanske jnaninastatvadarshana. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. The path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult, The Lord therefore advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession from the Lord Himself. No one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following this principle of disciplic succession. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and a person in the disciplic succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is to his disciple. No one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process, as it is the fashion of the foolish pretenders. The Bhagavatam says, Dharmam hi shakshat bhagavat pranitam. The path of religion is directly enunciated by the Lord. Therefore, mental speculation or dry arguments cannot help one progress in spiritual life. One has to accept a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender, and one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding.
Just the practical example. These European American boys, they are coming from well-to-do family. Americans are all well-to-do family. There is no poor man. Now, why they are serving me? I am Indian, coming from a poor country. I cannot pay them. And when I came here, I had no money. I bought only 40 rupees. That was only 1 hour's expenditure. So, their life and soul is engaged to carry out my instruction. And therefore they are making progress. Pradipati, Parikrishna. They are asking questions, I am trying to reply them, and they have got full faith. They are serving like menial servant. This is the process. And the spiritual master is bona fide, and the disciple is very sincere, then the knowledge is immediately there. This is secret. Jasya devi para bhakti, yata devi tatha guru. This is the secret of success. Therefore, formerly, the students were sent to Gurukul. It doesn't matter whether he is a king's son or, of course, the guru, Brahman, Kshatri, Vaishya, they were coming from various respectable. Even Krishna, he had to go to Gurukul. There is a story. One day Krishna went to collect dry wood from the forest. And there was all of a sudden rain, and they could not get out from the forest. The whole night they remained in the forest with great difficulty, torrents of rain. Next morning, the guru, teacher, with other students, they came in the forest and searched them out. This story was being reminded to his one friend, Sudama Vipra. My dear friend, do you remember that night, how we had to suffer? So even Krishna, whom we accept, the Supreme Lord, he had to go to the Gurukul. This is an example. And serve the Guru as a menial servant, to go to the forest. There was no fuel at that time, gas stove. They had to collect this what the dry wood in Poland. That's all. So all the students had to do like that. How a brahmachari would lead, the description is there. Brahmachari guru ke kule basan damta guru rahitau. A brahmachari should lead at Gurukul very submissive. Dhamta means submissive. And only for the benefit of Guru. No personal benefit. In this way, a brahmachari should take lesson from That is Pattanvidhi, Padipatila, Padipasaneva, Seva. They are trained from the very beginning how to become the first class submissive student. Then Guru out of affection will teach him open hearted. These boys are doing so much for me. Let me teach them as far as I know. This is the process. There is no question of monetary transaction on the basis of love and education. So we have already one Gurukul in Texas. We are teaching on that basis, and another Gurukul are just going to open in Vrindavan.
In
Vrindavan in India.
Oh, yeah.
So we have got this thing, but we have got sufficient money that we can immediately start all this thing. With great difficulty we are writing this book and selling and whatever little money we are getting gradually developing.
At the moment we have one man in Indology. But he's not enough, I mean, he can't cope with this work.
This is not
Mr. Mishra now.
It requires special training.
Well, now this is the point, you see. The man that we have at the moment, theoretically, he would agree, or I wouldn't say he would agree, but he would say, well, this is the Gita, and he would explain what is in the Gita, but whether he believes himself, or whether he practices.
Yes.
And this is a different story altogether.
Yes, you are right.
Even it would be difficult for him to explain if he had not
practiced.
Well, practicing. I mean, this is you see, those of us who have in our hearts.
There's no incentive for him to go into it in the first place unless he has some desire to understand.
Acharya means one who practices. And by practical experience, he explains. He is Acharya. Acharya, this very word, Achirati, he knows the principles of scriptures and he practices himself. And then he becomes Acharya. Otherwise, no.
You see, I might have some difficulty in accepting parts of the what you have indicated here simply because I do not know, but basically I accept for myself, you know, that God lives in us and He moves us, and when we leave things to Him, He knows how to direct these things.
Well, the main point is that we shouldn't leave these ideas to be discussed simply from the basis of mental speculation.
Correct.
Because then everyone will have a different opinion.
Well, this is the point. This is
the standard. The Vedic literature actually set the standard that we can refer to. Just like sometimes the example is given that if there's two lawyers arguing in court, and they have some argument, then the ultimate authority is the law book. It's the judge he refers to.
Yeah.
So the same way the Shastra, the scripture, is the law book, and very clearly philosophically presented. Anyone can understand.
How do the Christians that you have come across, do you belong to the Christian religion?
Actually, I'm raised a Jew, but I used to attend Mass regularly because my friends were Christian.
How do they look at this? How do they accept this?
Very nicely, because generally the Hindu conception is one of monism, whereas the Vedic conception is one of God being a person. Monotheism. Monism is different.
Hinduism, not monism. They have made it now. Hinduism, that is Bhagavad Gita.
Yes, the at least the modern day practice of it. In other words, they've given so many interpretations to the Vedic literature. I'll just give you one example. In the Bhagavad Gita, for example, there's a statement here that the spirit soul, jiva bhuta sanatana, that the living entity remains eternally individual, fragmental. Jiva, tiny spirit soul, he never loses his identity. Now the modern day Hindu conception is that the soul, after liberation, merges into God. I'm sure you've heard this idea before. And then becomes one with God and has no separate identity. But this is not confirmed in Vedic literatures anywhere. The individual soul remains individual eternally. Therefore, there's this possibility of a loving relationship with God. Because lover and beloved, there has to be two souls. Pure Vedic teaching is really wonderful. And it's very much appreciated by Christians in particular, because the Christian conception is that God is a spiritual person. And also the Vedic conception is that God is Purusha, spiritual person.
Yeah.
This is a wonderful thing about the Krishna consciousness movement, is that there are so many points of view in common with the Bible that Westerners very much appreciate it. Even though they may not embrace the conception of Krishna as God, they can appreciate the conception of God as a person.
Of course.
You see, because it's right in line with their upbringing. And therefore, in our movement, practically speaking,
I have read one book. What is that? Aquarian Gospel. In that book, it appears that the Christianity has come from the word Krishna. Christianity. The word Christo, it appears in Greek dictionary, Christo. And this word is it's called apabhramsha, or what is called? The word misspelled or mispronounced, what is called? Wrong. In India.
Oh, similar sound?
In India, still, Krishna is sometimes called Krishna. My younger brother, his name was Krishna, so we were calling him Krishna. So this Krishna word has come from Krishna. And Krishna means love, anointed, like that.
A redeemer. A redeemer. The savior, if one could call it.
And from this Krishna, Christ. This is explained in that book. So I think this Christianity has got link with Krishna.
Well,
Christianity and so Christianity.
Just like God created the body and then He breathed in the life. The same idea as taking us.
You see,
and
even 1/1,000,000,000 of 1% of the mind of God is so big.
Oh, yes.
that there is no human being that can even conceive all that. And
no radiyan mahato mahiyan, greater than the greatest, smaller than the smallest. That is the conception of Brahma.
Because He is so great, it behooves us to repeat His instruction without great interpretations to distort the meaning. That's the wonder of these books, that they're as they are without interpretation. Reference always, cross-reference back to other Vedic literatures.
So actually all over these books explaining Krishna. Whatever books we have presented.
Your concept of Krishna is
a reference to the Upanishads. In other words, the harmonious oneness of idea within the Vedic literatures is presented in the purports. No mental speculation. Practically every sentence that Prabhupada speaks is quoting some verse from the Vedic literature. Because he's representing the authority of the Vedic literatures. This is good.
But then we've had, as I said, we've had two little cross-references from, well, from the Christianity that I know and that I accept. I accept Christ as Redeemer. I do not even argue about it. I accept that God is, that I live, that I have my being in Him. But the challenge of living the life so that he can never be really satisfied, but that, you know, that I live the life that at least is disciplined, the word that you have used there as a discipleship. This is where the difficulty comes in, and that you need an inspiration.
Therefore, we have got this society, the living God. These boys are trained up how to live in God. That is the fact. Without practical life in God consciousness, simple theoretical knowledge. But it takes long time.
Well, sure, it helps, you know. You must, but you can only, this can only become a reality in one's own life.
Yeah.
If you practice it, and you practice it with others.
Now, these boys are being trained up in practical life. Now, they're established.
Well, I mustn't keep you longer. I want to thank you very much, and I pray that God will bless your visit to our country and people here.
I'm this old, I'm 80 years old now. Still, I'm traveling all over the world once, or at least twice in a year. Now it is a little straining, but still, I have established so many centers I want to see, then they are going nicely. And on my presence, they take encouragement for this problem.
Well, here at this university, we certainly can create a very live center.
Yes.
You know, the material is here, the opportunities are here, the courses are here.
I was speaking this morning about your government. I was appreciating the people are happy here. I was comparing that Gandhi tried to take some political power here, and he was not able. But he went to India, and he somehow or other, he got independence. But practically I see, here the Indians are more happy than in India. I was talking.
Thank you very much.
No, you can take.
Take whole plate. You can take the
seat. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Well,
what do you have prepared?
We have a Simply Wonderful and another sweet that we've made.
You take. Eat.
It's very
all right. Nice. Thank you.
If you'd like, I can put this in a bag to take with you also and take it home.
Thank you. Gandhi was here for almost 20 years.
Yes.
South Africa made Gandhi into the man that he became.
Yes, that I know. I was telling him that Gandhi in India, before coming to South Africa, he was a brainless barrister. He had no practice. So he got some case here.
That's right.
And he came here and joined some political movement, became famous. Yeah. And with that background, he went to India and became leader.
20 years of political struggle in South Africa really made Gandhi the leader.
Yes.
Enabled him to become the leader. But, you know, he tried to get for the Indians in South Africa what was his right, of course, for the Indians in India. But the situation in South Africa where there were not only Indians, there were Zulus and there were English and there were Afrikaans and
Kosa. I've been here now almost 3 years in South Africa.
Is that so?
Yes.
So I gave my honest opinion that India, after getting independence in India, they're not so happy as I see here. The Indians are happy, although they're not independent. So the government is good government.
Well, you know, the devil is very busy everywhere.
That is natural. That is natural.
But there's peace here.
Well, we must keep it at all costs.
Yes. Oh, yes.
This man wants this, and that group wants this, but there
there's
are
no
so,
end to it.
No.
You've got to keep the balance in. Very delicate situation.
That is what.
Very delicate situation.
Well, you are giving this black community and Indian community the white government. All in peace. That is good government. Government's first duty is to keep peace.
It must have order.
That's all.
Otherwise, chaos.
Everything stops.
You know, once you've got chaos, you've got the law of the jungle.
So I was giving this credit to your government. It is not, but I must explain.
Well, we have problems.
Problems there must be. The whole world is in problem. Yes. That is another.
Yeah.
But you are on the whole world to see how the government is keeping order. That is what. Yes.
You see, now it makes it easier again if we accept that God has a plan and a purpose for my life, for your life.
Oh, yes.
But He also has a plan for the country.
Ah.
If He did not want the Indian people here, He wouldn't have brought them here. If He didn't want me here or the black people, He wouldn't have brought them here. Now, either you must accept the totality of the plan of God or reject it.
Yes.
And as soon as they come under the shelter of a government, it is the duty of the government to give them protection.
Sure.
That is the duty.
You can't pick out a part of the plan of God that suits you.
No.
This one I accept, this is God's plan for me, which is there for God working, and the other part I reject. You see now, too many of us want to live this.
East Africa, they are following the policy of driving away. That is not good policy.
No, that's not good policy.
Oh, when they have come to your shelter, it doesn't matter who is he, I must give him shelter. That's all.
Yeah.
That is good law.
Yeah. But then you've got to have a centrifugal point. Which is God.
Yes.
Once you have that, and I believe our present Prime Minister and our previous Prime Ministers, they've accepted that. Maybe, you know, because the mind of God is so great, they've not been always be able to interpret it.
Very imperfectness, that maybe. On the whole, when the order is kept very nicely, that is good God.
I think so.
This is
primarily what is required, you know. And it takes a lot of wisdom in this country to do it.
Unless people are finding spiritual satisfaction.
That is another chapter. But on the whole, the material life, of course, God's plan is that people may live peacefully and be enlightened in spiritual consciousness. That is God's plan. But if we miss that one, then there will be trouble. But if the government is vigilant that all the citizens, they must advance in spiritual understanding.
Well, I think this is the great tragedy.
Yes.
And they must give guidance.
Yes.
You see, they must...
But it is the duty of the God.
Sure. It's their first duty.
Yes, it is the duty.
Because God is a God of order.
Yes.
And He Himself is order.
The king or the government is representative of God.
That's right.
To enlighten them in God consciousness. That is what? That was the plan in the beginning, church was guiding the government. In India also the Brahmins were guiding the kings. That was the order in the previous. Now everything is toxic. But now we should take seriously, if we want real peace, we must take to that peace formula I have given, Krishna has given, Bhoktaram Jagratam Sam, Sarva Rupa Maheshwaram, Suidam Sarva Bhutam. He is the well-wisher friend of everyone. So we should take his advice. So Bhagavad Gita is directly the instruction by God. If we take it, any line of action, social, political, religious, cultural, philosophical, everything. That is explained in Bhagavad Gita. So, if gentlemen like you, somebody come forward and impartially study this Bhagavad Gita with our logic, reason, it is actually what is called boon to the human society. If they act accordingly, everything, all problems will be solved. Anything, you take any side, it is explained there. It is explained. Do like this. Do like this.
Well, we must.
So I shall request you to study this book very thoroughly and minutely. And as soon as there is any doubt, I am at your service. You can ask. So you can take little leadership. You are already in a position. If you take little importance of this idea, Krishna consciousness, the whole people of the world will be happy. Irrespective of this nation, everyone will be happy. Because after that is stated, every living being is part and parcel of God. So, intimately they are connected with God. Just like this, my finger is part and parcel of my body. It is intimately related with this body. But if you cut this finger and drop it from the body, it has no value. This finger cut from my body, lying on the street, nobody will take care. But this finger, so long it is attached to the body, if there is little trouble, I spend thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Because it is important.
Correct.
And this same finger, you cut it from the body and throw it in the street, nobody will take it.
That's right.
So we are now thrown out of connection of God. Correct. Therefore we have no value.
Yeah.